Thank you for listening to this recording from Chestnut Hill Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Sight preaches out of Galatians 6 with a message called Do Not Be Deceived. We hope you find this message valuable and enriching.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7, Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. May God illuminate our hearts with this truth from his word this morning. Thank you. In a recent Barna poll, we discover that the top 10 cities that rank the highest as being post-Christian mostly fall within the Northeast. Philadelphia ranks 11th on that list, with 49% of its population falling into the category of post-Christian. The term essentially means that you do not believe in God, you're agnostic or an atheist, or the accuracy of the Bible. It's not the essential inspired word of God, or attend church at all, if perhaps not even regularly, or pray ever or seldom. The deceit of Satan is real, and it's frightening how easily he captures the soul of his victims. And when we look at the state of the world, and we filter it through the light of revelation and spiritual discernment, there are some very striking features that should grab your attention. We discover that there is a great deceiver among us, and that he deceives on purpose in order to destroy. And he has a great advantage in this work of deception and his work of destruction. From the blindness of our minds, from the corruption of our hearts, and from our connection with the world. And yet when we have spiritual discernment and the light of revelation, there's another thing that grabs our attention, and that there is a counteracting influence to the deceit and destruction of Satan. There's a Holy Spirit counteracting the operations of the evil spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in his work to go about undeceiving souls and keeping them that way, has also peculiar advantages to him. He has the advantage of the scriptures, and he has the advantage of an illuminated conscience. Now, Satan carries on his work of deception and destruction by using man as his instrument. And he knows that man can be his instrument in destroying man. And so the Holy Spirit, in his counteracting influence in the world, also carries on his great work of salvation through man. So that as the devil destroys man through man, God saves man through man. And so the great work of the ministry is to counteract the great work of this deceiver and destroyer, to undeceive souls and to keep them undeceived. And so here in Galatia, in this book that we call the Epistle to the Galatians, we find the apostle being used as God's instrument in counteracting the designs of this deceiver and this murderer. Paul had preached in Galatia, and as a result, many had the veil of deceit removed from their hearts. God had given Paul success, and he had removed thousands out of the hands of this deceiver and destroyer. And as the great work of the ministry is to go about undeceiving souls that are deceived, you may be sure the greatest pleasure of the minister's heart is to see his work crowned with success, which is why I'm so grieved at the consequence of 9,000 people within just a few blocks of us who are deceived and being destroyed by Satan. The Lord crowned Paul in his labors with success, but the great deceiver and destroyer got many of them back again under his power and influence. And therefore, the apostle tells us in chapter 6 that he wrote this letter with his own hand, he says. I write this with my own hand. And he writes in the epistle, as he writes to the Galatians in chapter 3, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He adds emphasis to the importance of his letter by intentionally mentioning to the reader that he did not use a secretary or an amanuensis, as they were referred to write, which was his custom, to use a secretary to write on his behalf. But he wrote the letter with his own hand. It was that important. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And man reaps what he sows. And Paul guards us against being deceived upon four subjects of practical influence. He gives us four subjects of practical influence for us to consider. And the first is this: be not deceived in the being, the perfections, and the character of God. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived in the being, the perfections, and the character of God, because God is not mocked. And secondly, be not deceived in your own character as rational creatures and as redeemed sinners on probation here in this earth for eternity. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Life is our seed time, if you will, and eternity will be our reaping time. The third subject is this: be not deceived in the evil nature and dreadful end of a life of sin. Don't be deceived by the dreadful end of a life of sin. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, the Bible says. And lastly, be not deceived in the nature, the necessity, the excellency of a life of holiness. He that sows of the Spirit, Scripture says, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let's take a look at those four this morning. First then, the apostle guards us against being deceived in the being, the perfections, and the character of God. You know, we cannot dwell upon the attributes of the divine character, but there are a few things that seem to grip our attention here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot deceive him. This fills the mind with a clear view of God's omnipresence and his omniscience. God cannot be deceived because he is everywhere, and because he reads thoughts and words and actions of everywhere all the time. And therefore, be not deceived. We are always in the presence and always in the eye of God. God is not mocked. God cannot be deceived. There are a few attributes of God which stand more prominently in the scriptures of eternal truth than God's omnipresence and omniscience. The psalmist had a view of it when he composed the 139th Psalm, when he said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. If I ascend up into heaven, into the brilliancy of unclouded glory, thou art there, the psalmist says. If I make my bed in hell, in frowning darkness, behold, thou art there. Wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, we are still surrounded with God. If God were not always present to read thoughts and words and actions, He could not properly either punish the wicked or reward the righteous in the day of judgment. But the Bible says he will judge the secrets of all hearts. The sinner may live in open sin and think no one takes notice of him, but he's mistaken. God is not mocked. There's a second thing also that Paul reminds us, and that is, which we earnestly guard against, and that is this: ourselves, yourself. Be not deceived in your own character. Remember, you are rational creatures. Remember, you are redeemed sinners on probation for eternity. Remember, as far as a metaphor can represent it, this life is our seed time, and eternity will be our reaping time. What a man sows in time here on earth, he shall reap in eternity. There's a cause and effect. What a man sows in time, he shall reap in some measure, in kind, in eternity. What a man sows in degree in time, he shall reap in degree in eternity. Now I say, be not deceived in yourselves. You are rational creatures and redeemed sinners on probation for eternity. And this life is our seed time, and eternity will be our reaping time. And what we sow in time, we shall reap in eternity. It is not yesterday, that's gone. It's not tomorrow, that is not ours. It's not here, it is now, the present. And all these lines of infinite importance of a rational creature and a redeemed sinner on trial for eternity, all these lines meet in the focus of the present. They meet now. And thirdly, be not deceived in the evil nature and dreadful end of a life of sin. Friends, eternity is at stake. Let God remove the veil off of these eyes and off of these hearts. Look in the light of God at the evil nature and dreadful end of a life of sin. The nature of a life of sin is called here by the figurative expression, sowing to pleasure. Sowing to pleasure. The one who sows to pleasure, his sinful nature, from that nature, the Bible says, will reap destruction. Stripping it off its figurative language, sowing to pleasure means living according to the principles and the propriety and propensities and appetites and passions of our fallen nature. The man that lives only according to these is sowing to the flesh. You cannot doubt that that person who is living in open sin is sowing to pleasure. If you live according to the principles and the propensities and the appetites and the passions of your fallen nature, and let your thoughts rise here and end there and center here, remember, harvest will come. Post-Christian, your harvest will come. You may despise the counsel of God against yourselves and be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, but remember, post-Christian, harvest will come. You will reap, but the Apostle Paul says it best, I think. He says, you shall reap corruption. Scripture reminds us of the parable of the rich man. Do you remember it in Scripture? He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And your harvest will be worse than his. He didn't have the gospel such as you have, nor means such as you have, nor calls from God such as you have. Be not deceived. And fourthly and finally, be not deceived in the nature and necessity and excellency of a life of holiness. A life of holiness is called by the figurative expression, sowing to the Spirit, or sowing to please the Spirit. that is yielding to the dictates of the Holy Spirit in this great work of salvation, in counteracting the deadly designs of the deceiver and the destroyer. Consequently, when a man begins to sow to the Spirit, he then begins to listen and yield to the teaching of the Holy Spirit upon his soul and by the ministry of the Word of God. The Church of England, the Episcopal Church in America, is its historical offshoot, you may recall, reacted harshly a few years ago when the Episcopal Church in America appointed its first openly gay bishop. And now this same church in England, just a few years later now, is embracing and celebrating transgenders and is calling for a formal ceremony to be conducted in local congregations to recognize and affirm those who openly announce that they are transgender, a far cry from the excellency of a life of holiness. And now, friends, have you settled it in your mind? Have you determined, I will sow to the flesh? I have been in the hands of the deceiver and destroyer. I see he is both, but I will still lie calmly under the deceiver, and I will put myself in the hands of the destroyer again. I will not be undeceived. I love my deception. Have you settled on that? Is it the settled principle of your heart? I've been in the hands of the deceiver and the destroyer, and I will lie down another night very calmly in his hands. I may be dead before morning, and I may be reaping my harvest in everlasting destruction, but whether I am or not, I will shut my eyes to the light, and I will harden my heart against conviction, and I will refuse life, and I will choose death. Post-Christian, will you not let the Holy Spirit undeceive you and save your dying soul? And may your answer be, I yield. I yield. And won't you surrender to Jesus Christ? Won't you admit that the Savior loves you more than the devil hates you? Won't you proclaim that the Holy Spirit loves you more than the destroyer hates you? And friend, Christ is more desirous of your salvation than the devil is of your destruction. Put yourself into the hands of your Savior, and may the omniscient God, who sees all things, who knows your heart, be willing at this moment to receive you for Jesus' sake. May God bless his own word to us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've come before your throne and opened your word, we pray, dear Lord, that we as instruments, man to man, will be used to counteract the deceit and destruction of the evil one. And may we pursue to a love for your word and for its truth, that we may have it in our hearts as your Holy Spirit resides in us and grants us its truth, that we might be used to deflect the flame of hell, that those who are post-Christian by thought and action might come to the understanding of how they are being deceived and destroyed, and listen to the prompting of your Holy Spirit and receive from him the truth and joy that awaits all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by his sacrifice and received simply by faith. May they also experience the joy and the anticipation of life eternal in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
For more information about Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, or to subscribe to these audio messages via our podcast, visit our website at chestnuthillbaptist.org. You can also write to us at Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, 2 Bethlehem Pike, Philadelphia, PA, 19118.